You are listening to the Fire You Carry podcast. This is Noel, and in this episode, Kevin and I, we have a bit of a conversation. Not abnormal. That's what we do here. We have a bit of a, not going to really call it a retraction, but a little bit of clarification that I personally would like to add regarding the last episode and some of the things that we talked about. Looks like some of those words that were said were kind of taken in a way that was not intended. So we correct a little bit of that. We talk about some Christmas stuff. Disclaimer, if you've got kids in the car, there is some stuff in here that you might not want them to hear regarding Christmas and traditions and things of that nature. So listener discretion is advised. Thank you for being here. Enjoy. The probationary firefighters in this battalion, they are old school, traditional, wow. And they're just outstanding. I keep getting guys offering to work my recalls if I need the day off.
Man.
And just dudes stepping up. Yeah, it's a foreign, strange land out here.
Do you think that's innate or taught or both?
I think up here it's taught, I think. And I think probably there's enough of them that it's like the culture still exists. I mean, you know, this is Battalion 4, 82s is here. I think there's still people that are teaching that. And there's enough of them here that it's like a culture that exists. I don't
know. That's great. Strong work, boys. Keep stepping up. That's a great way to earn a great reputation too. Guys will want you to work for them.
Yeah. Do we just want to go with that? Okay. So I got to shout out these guys. Their names by name specifically. So I'm in Battalion 4, meeting all these new people, didn't know anybody up here, but I've had several now experiences where guys have bailed me out of recalls where I needed the day off, and not like I went and found them, like they reached out to me. And so the last couple, young firefighter named Sourbeer, it's his last name, rad last name. He offered to work my Thanksgiving. Wow. So I got to go be home with the family for that because he didn't have a family. And he's like, hey, do you want to go be home with your wife and kids? I said, absolutely. That sounds great. Didn't even think to hang the day, but he stepped up, worked that. And then I got recalled this Saturday. It just so happens we have some pretty big Christmas plans as a family, but I got recalled and randomly out of the blue, young probationary firefighter paramedic Gold hits me up and says, hey, do you need out of that recall? And I said, I would absolutely love that. So those dudes took care of me. It makes me feel like the traditions that kind of keep the whole, we've talked about this a lot. We did a whole episode on it, but they're still alive here in Battalion 4, and it's super encouraging. And the cool thing about that is I know that in company like that, that if those guys need a day, they need something covered, I'll be there. Other people will be there because everybody's doing it. It's just guys taking care of each other, and you got to respect that. So huge shout out to Sour Beer and Gold. Love you guys. Appreciate
Strong
it.
Work, boys.
Making my life better.
It's the little things like that do build camaraderie, and it's like a start of a friendship, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I've thought about this a lot. Like, friendship is making sacrifices for your buddies, right? I feel like that's like the start of those things, right? And I'm in a new battalion as well, and this is an infamous battalion, you know? But I realize one of the things why these guys are like solid is because they always kind of look out for each other. Like, in the same way, there's plenty of guys trying to make sure that you get the day off or figure it out. And everyone's texting each other in between to say, hey, do you need this or need that? Or this guy needs this or this guy. And I could see why that builds like an instant camaraderie in the guys, because they always seem to be looking out for each other, which is very refreshing.
When you put yourself at a disadvantage for somebody else, especially when it's somebody that you don't know, you know, that allows me and others to make almost an immediate judgment call on what your character is, who you are, and doesn't answer all the questions, but I immediately think this is a solid dude, and that's cool. Hey, before we really get too deep into this, our last episode sparked a little bit of controversy. So I feel like I need to clarify something. We talked about your duty to take action. And so I told the story of the dog with the fish hook, and the part that caused a little bit controversy is probably not the right word, but I've had a couple of guys hit me up about it. And I felt like I tried to do a decent job in the episode, but I don't think I did a good enough job. And so I'm going to restate something. I love San Bernardino County Fire Department. I love the guys over there. I know a handful of them. They're good dudes. I don't think that those guys did anything wrong in that moment. I think it was a lack of good communication. Part of that's on me. The phone call, talking to whoever I was talking to, whether he was an AO or who knows who he was. But whatever got relayed from me to the captain, whatever, there was something dropped there. And so I don't think it's fair to say that that captain or that crew or even that guy I spoke to on the phone did the wrong thing. And that wasn't my intention. My intention was more to say, when you get put into a situation and you know you can affect positive change, take action on that. And so that's what I was trying to get across. I wasn't trying to call out anyone, and I definitely still don't want to do that. I don't think it's appropriate or necessary. So I just wanted to say that up front.
Solid correction. Yeah.
And if we wanted to sit here and give examples of times when here at Los Angeles County Fire, I have seen people not take action when we could have, like, I could tell those stories. So it's not like Kevin and I were sitting here trying to tell all the, oh, yeah, well, one time we did this with this dog and we did that. And that's outside of our, you know, our quote unquote job description. I could also tell a myriad of stories of times when I've watched captains or other individuals shirk duties that are part of our job description. Yeah, so it's across the board universal. Nobody's perfect. Nobody gets it right all the time. And certainly if you, the listener, felt like it sounded like Noel was saying that LA County Fire doesn't do that or make mistakes, that's not what I'm saying. We're just striving for, you know, a higher level of excellence. And it was more me hoping to get you to start thinking about, when do I take action and when do I not, which is the conversation we had. So I just wanted to put that out there. Love you, San Bernardino boys.
SB. So it's Christmas time. I'm going to ask you, do you do the Elf on the Shelf thing?
My God, no.
God, I hate that thing.
Ugh.
Somehow, a couple years ago, somehow the wife started. There was no conversation about it. It just showed up and the thing's there. And now I feel like Santa's one thing already, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But like the web of lies that we are creating, it's just compounding. Now it's on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like I wanted to ask you because you have older kids and younger kid, mm-hmm. right, with Indy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like I feel like we're right at the cutoff of like Santa being real. Like we're at 9 and 10.
Yeah.
And there's like some questions. And they mm-hmm. go to public school, right? So, and then there's people next door that don't participate in Santa and they're friends with those kids. And so there's just the questions are going. And now, you know, they're old enough. Like this morning, my wife's writing a note from the Elf on the Shelf or whatever. Mm. And I'm like, my daughter's like, that looks like mom's handwriting.
That's what gets you. That gets you every time. The handwriting.
I'm looking at it. I'm like, what are we doing? We're getting further and further away than like the actual meaning of Christmas. But it's like, I don't know. I think there's something magical about like the fantasy of Santa and the hope and this whole amazing thing. But at the same time, I'm like, well, what are we doing? I hate the Elf on the Shelf.
You said the word. You said the word magical. And I think that's why Santa Claus, the Elf on the Shelf, the Tooth Fairy. I think that's why those things are so fun, especially when the kids are little. I would like to put aside for a second the principle that we are lying to our children or being deceitful. I don't want to talk about that yet. I just want to talk about the magic.
Okay, let's talk about the magic.
I've had this conversation minutes ago with my engineer about Santa Claus and how our family handled it. Full disclosure, our family didn't do Elf on the Shelf, but we did for a while have Penguin on the Shelf. And it was the same principle.
The penguin.
Aesthetically, my wife doesn't like the Elf on the Shelf, but the kids wanted to participate in some level of the magic. I don't really know how it came about, but this penguin that looked like a taxidermied penguin, I don't know, he's about 8 inches tall. He appeared and we began to do the things. And so we did that for a few years. And it was fun initially, right? It's fun. You set him up doing silly things and the kids find it and it's exciting and fun. And then it becomes a huge drag because every night you have to figure out what you're going to do and you've run out of ideas and then you forget. And now you have to make an excuse why nothing happened. And it does become this, you know, giant web of lies. So it becomes a lot. But for a time it was fun. And my wife did some amazingly fun stuff. She was very creative and did some really fun stuff with it that our kids still remember to this day. We had a conversation with them actually not too long ago and asked them, the older ones, like, hey, did you actually like believe that this was going on when you were, I don't know how old they were, 6, 7, 8. And they said, yeah, yeah. I remember really believing that there was something magic going on with this penguin. And then the follow-up question was, well, how did you feel when you found out that, you know, it wasn't real? And they were like, well, by the end, we had figured it out. And it was just fun to play along. And so for them, it wasn't like this giant traumatic, like jarring.
Oh, it was, yeah.
It's fake. You were lying to us. That didn't happen. Back to the principle of deception and the web of lies. This is just my opinion. But I think that with traditions like that, especially traditions like Santa Claus, I think that the magic and the just tradition of that, I think it's okay. I feel okay about it. Our youngest still believes in Santa Claus. We don't do the elf on the shelf or the penguin on the shelf anymore, mostly because we got tired of dealing with it. But I think it's all right. And I have yet to this day met an adult who claims to have had some sort of traumatic.
Yeah.
Like, I found out my parents were lying to me about this and I was traumatized. Like, I don't know anybody that ever felt that way. And you can argue it from both sides. I totally get it. And I know a lot of parents that say, you know, I won't lie to my kids about that. I respect that. I get it. But for me, I don't know, maybe it's because I was raised believing in Santa Claus and I like the season. I like the fun. Of course, in our house, we focus on the fact that we're celebrating Jesus's birth. And that's the big main thing. We don't have our kids write letters to Santa. We don't talk about, hey, if you're bad, you're not getting gifts. We don't do any of that, but we do allow them to believe. So I don't know, probably a much longer answer than you were looking for.
No, it's great. I think you're right. I think there's something incredible about a child's imagination, right? And I think that brings us back to like a childlike state when we're around it. And so it does bring joy in the household and stuff like that. We have this thing, like, for a while I was doing like story time with my daughter. We read books and stuff like that, but we'd be laying there in bed at night and I'd say, hey, there's a story of a princess. She rode a white horse. And then what I would do, I would just say, what do you think happened next? Mm. And that was the funniest thing in the world because she would say, she had to cross a bridge and get a sword. And then I would create another paragraph, you know what I mean? And then after that, I would say, what do you think happened next? And I'd keep saying this. And her imagination was incredible. And we create this complete fantasy story out of nothing, just listening. And it's great because, like, I don't think we live in like a fantasy world. We're very black and white in what we do and following policy and doing this and that. But like, that's a magical thing to be like in the world of a child's imagination. And there's some special parts of it, you know, where they're like, I see him go, oh my gosh, he's in the tree today, you know? And it's like, I can see the wheels turning, imagining, but I also feel like, oh my gosh, we're getting down a weird road here.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know that there's a right answer. It's probably real dependent on your family and background and traditions. And I know some very well-adjusted adults that believed in Santa Claus and I know other well-adjusted adults that didn't. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know that there's a right answer. In fact, I'm confident there's not. It's dependent on you and your family.
And I think it's even more so in like the fire family, because I can't tell you how many guys I know that work Christmas Eve or Christmas, right?
Right.
And so they have their fire Christmas, which is like a whole nother thing. Like either the Christmas is the day before or the Christmas, the Santa comes the day before, the day after, or whatever it may be. And that's kind of normal. You know what I mean? And so it's another series of things that they have to explain and make imaginative. Yeah. Why yeah. He came in Christmas because dad's working or something.
Right. Yeah. Well, see, so Santa Claus for the first responder community, he's able to come the day after And it doesn't bother him at all. He just does it specifically. You know, firemen, we're heroes, and Santa Claus knows that. And so he takes care of us. Yeah, you can somebody go down told that road.
It was like he had lights and sirens. So he came to the place with lights and sirens first, you know, or something like that.
That's funny. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Can we check in? I was actually going to ask you this before we started recording, how you wanted to handle this, but we'll just do it right here. We're doing it live. Can we talk about the burpee cold challenge and yes. what's going on? Can we talk about that?
Yes. So we did threw it out there, 100 burpees, and I'm like 3 days in, and I have some pre-existing injuries, and it just acerbated that whole thing. And I was just in radical pain, and then I had to come to terms with the fact that I couldn't do this challenge. So what I can do is the ice or this cold shower stuff, mm-hmm. and that's easy. And I feel like that's been great. So I had to respectfully bow out of the 100 burpee challenge, and it hurts to do that because I know there's some guys out grinding there. There's guys texting me saying I got them in today, even though I didn't want to. There's guys doing it at night, which I think is incredible. I love it. And I love that these challenges kind of brings that together. Guys that I wouldn't normally text on a daily basis, I'm texting. You know, it's really cool. But I had to respectfully bow out.
And I think you did the right thing. And I want to reinforce this idea that just because with something like this, especially, so we make this challenge and we commit to doing it, but then it's apparent that you've got an injury. It's causing you extreme pain. You know what's going to happen if you keep pushing down that road because, oh man, I committed to this. That's not intelligent. It's not wise. The right thing to do is to say, you know what? I bow out. And there's nothing wrong with that. I know for a fact that with your mentality and the way that you're built, that's hard. And I know you feel bad about it. But I know that the flip side of that is you push, then you are actually injured. And then, you know, where does that lead? And for what, right? For 100 burpees a day, does that really matter? No. It really doesn't. Now, I'll just say that for me, the cold has been really pretty cool. I have been in a phase for months before this where I wasn't doing much cold exposure at all. Mm. I just kind of fallen out of the habit, and I've been in the ice bath probably 3 times, I would say, in the last probably 3 months. So I've fallen way off, haven't been doing it at all. So the looming specter of taking a 5-minute long cold shower every single day it was tough to get started. And it's definitely something where I want to hit it first thing in the morning to get it out of the way. Right. So it's not kind of like looming over me, but it's been of course I knew this cause I've done it before, but it's a really great way to start the day. We've obviously talked about it ad nauseum on this podcast, but if I go out and knock out my workout and then go take a cold shower, I feel amazing. Like the rest of the day just feels great. So I don't know. If you're not doing it, man, maybe you just pick up that part of it, finish out the month, cold December, just do a little bit of cold. It's really good. Really good.
Yeah. And it's wild where like we're at a point now, I think the teachers become the student, you know, like we've had David Calderon, who's just an amazing dude. He's come to the program twice. Right. And he was his first exposure to like cold exposure was at the program. Right. And of course, they built an ice bath at 13s and they've been doing the thing. So I come in early. I try to beat the traffic of the whole going through 3 different counties to get to work. And but by the time I'm like, I've had coffee on board. I've had a Zen. It's business time. I got to hit a number 2 when I'm rolling in at 6 a.m. And every morning I'm coming in on his shift. And notice like I'm coming in hot and here's this David Calderon sitting in an ice bath at 6 a.m. by himself. He's literally setting a clock and it's dark outside and it's cold outside and he's by himself. And I realize like I kind of got to step my game up a little bit because I don't want it. He's asked me a couple of times like, hey, you want to jump in? And I'm like, no, man, I got things to do, you know? And it's wild. Like I realize like I always love. It's so much easier to do that with you or with a group or with, right. Oh man, let's go. I'm the first one to say, we got 4 guys like, hey, let's go.
Right.
I'm in. It's a lot harder for me to have the self-discipline to say, I'm going to do it by myself when nobody's watching in
when no
the
one's
dark,
awake, it's dark.
At 6 a.m.
That's, you know, savage.
And I think it's awesome because I got things to work on. And I think that's what's great about the challenge. It's challenging, right? I think it motivated me in a sense to say, I've kind of let these like lagging injuries just be there and I haven't really addressed them. And so I'm putting in work because it frustrated me so much that I couldn't finish the burpees to like say, okay, well, what do I got to do to fix this thing? You know? So I reached out to guys like Evan Hallquist and other people to say, okay, I'm trying to do something so that I can be able to complete these in 2024 so that I will like pay this back. I know it. I know I'll pay it back, but I got to do some work first. So I'm glad we did, because if I didn't fail, I probably wouldn't be motivated to fix these things, right? And try to get better.
I love that. That's a rad perspective. Solid. Taylor Morgan is another guy that's been getting after it and messaging us like on a regular basis, encouraging, calling us out, which I love. It's really fun to be in a community like this where there's other men out there who are being more savage than me on maybe most days. And that's challenging to me to like, oh man, I got to get after it. Like Taylor's out there doing it. So Taylor, David, Graves, all the guys, dude, there's too many guys to mention, but it's been super fun. All right.
Absolutely.
I have to give, because it is Christmas time, I have to give my annual encouragement that you should go out and listen to the album Socks by JD McPherson.
That's a great album.
It's so good. It's more modern Christmas music, but it's definitely, it's in my top three at this point, up there with Burl Ives and Bing Crosby. So check it out. I will put a link in the show notes so you can go find it. But all I talk about it every year. They're all original songs. It's amazing. Every single one of them is great. Go check it out. I'll put a link for it.
I feel like there's been like new Christmas songs for like 60, 100, 2000 years. So like, but JD McPherson's rad. Those are all new Christmas songs.
Yeah. It seems like most Christmas songs that are quote unquote new, they're not worth your time and just become annoying. But this is great. So go check that out. Un-Christmas music related, I stumbled across this song that I have been listening to nonstop, and I don't even know what genre to put it in. I don't know that anyone else is going to like it. I've only sent it to one other person, and it was my brother. He thought it was outstanding. I want you to check this out and tell me what you think. It's called, the song is called Without Me, and the band is Dayseeker. One word, Dayseeker. Go listen to that. Check out this guy's vocals. He's absolutely next level, but listen to that. I want to know your thoughts. Am I completely off base? I love that song right now. I'm listening to it nonstop. It's not Christmas. It's not Christmas at all, but check it out. I'm curious what other men think of a song like this. So check that out for me. Hit me up.
I'm in. So one of the things that's been interesting going to a new station, new battalion, is that it seemed like a lot of the guys were close. And then I've only been there for like a month and a half. I've had like three pretty good structures. And I noticed that they're all super competent dudes. They've all worked very busy spots that actually got quite a bit of action. And everybody is super competent and very cool. And it's one of those guys that like, they don't have to tell you how cool they are because they just do their job well. And I noticed, it's like everything. Every time we go through a battle, you're very close with the guys and their stories and, oh man, that was awesome and this and that. But I realized like that's part of the reason I think why these guys are real close is because they burn more than most, right? They get to get into action and do their job. And I'm trying to figure out, like, I think that's the reason why sometimes we have camaraderie and stuff like that is because we've been through some stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And how to create that more in your life. But it's the same thing. I've seen it kind of goes back to a lot of the stuff that we do with the program. You cut some line with some guy, you do a hard workout. You know what I mean? Like you get a nice bath with somebody, like you're close, right? And so I'm like, I want that more, but almost on a family side too, I was trying to figure out, okay, that works great at work. You go through a fire, you do some fun stuff together. Of course, the guys are going to get close and we're laughing and joking and having a great time. And we want to cook together and play cards and all those things. But I'm like, I'd love to try to do that more on a family sense. And I don't know exactly how to do that. Because it's hard to get these muchachas to do like a hard hike or a hard bike ride or a hard, you know what I mean? But I'm even though that there's some great things we're doing, we're playing chess together, doing family games and all the different stuff. I was trying to think about that. Like, on a family level, are there ways to create that?
Ooh. I love the idea because obviously I agree with you. Going through difficult things together, that builds camaraderie. It's what we're trying to do at the program. We have some ideas on how we're going to expand on that this next year. But yeah, how do you do that with your family? Because you've got different ages. Obviously, we're dealing with females and our wives and our daughters. So that changes everything. Yeah, how do you do that? The one thing that I thought of, and this could be a terrible idea because it's actually something we've never done, but what if you were doing something challenging like an escape room or something like that?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That's the only thing that came to mind immediately. I've never done one, but we've always talked about it. I know people that have, and they say they're a blast, but that might be something that you could do as a group. That's, you know, it's mentally challenging, not physically challenging, but that might, I don't know. Okay. Let's do that. Let's go do that. And then we'll report back and tell the guys if it's a good idea.
Escape room.
Write that down.
I like it. I wrote it down. But it's a thing, right? Because my wife and I have been through some hardships, right? We've had like miscarriages. We've had financial challenges. We've bought a house, lost a house. We've been through like the death of her dad, my mom. Like I feel like we're close because we've been through hard things together, right? Mm-hmm. And over a 20-year span, I mean, I feel like we're closer because we've been through stuff, right? And I'm like, even though I don't want, like, I was listening to this podcast on this guy on parenting, and it was saying that it's just the death of America is just the over helicoptering of children.
Yeah.
And trying to protect them in that we're perceiving a world that is so rough because all the media and everything's accessible, but we have to let them have some hardship. We have to let them have some challenges because that's the only way they're going to build resiliency. And it really made me think, like, if I'm honest, I've probably been over helicoptering because they're girls, right? And I'm like, the sexual predator thing and like all the different things that are out there, man, I am in fear of, right? And so I don't let them do certain things, and we're very protective of them, which is great.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm like, I want to figure out how to build to give them some idea of resiliency and challenges in their life. And I expose them to a lot of sports, which I think gives them that. Right. But what else? What can we do? I think that's a great idea to start with, something like an escape room. And I try to be an example. I try to do like hard things around them in the garage or go do things. But it's definitely more challenging as you got homework and practice and different things to try to figure that out.
Yeah, that's tough. So I've had one or two times, and this has probably been a couple of years ago now, where Avery and North and I went out and participated in an airsoft war together.
Oh,
a bunch of kids and adults met up on some hill in the forest, and we did airsoft, and Avery and North both participated in that. That's fun. But that's difficult to go find a place that you can do it where it's going to be safe for kids. So that's something, I don't know. I don't know if that fits, but I would think that if you were able and capable, like you said, hard hike, but I did also think of like a short camping backpacking trip, like where you hike in maybe 2 miles and then set up the tent, hang out, cook food, and then hike back out. Like that could be a good way to do it if you have, you know, varying levels of fitness or willingness to be uncomfortable. That's a great question. And then that's something that I too would like to do with my family. And dude, you and I have talked about this a lot, just this idea that so much of what we do in this space and as firemen, it's all us and for us. And how do we bring along our wives and our kids into that? I think that's an underexplored topic. And I think you're on the right path. I think we work on this. I think we figure it out.
So I tried to bring in one of the Fire Station card games after dinner at the house the other day. It didn't go great.
Which one did you play?
Pass the Biatch, if you could say that. I called it Pass the Queen, you know. But
We call it Pass the Lady, and we play it at our house.
Oh, you do?
It did take a few tries and a few times of me, Dad, getting frustrated and saying, you know what, forget it. Forget it. We're not doing it.
I was like, oh,
But yeah. I persisted in it, and my kids are older, obviously, but I persisted, and eventually it became the type of thing where now when their friends come over for something, or their girlfriend or their boyfriend comes over, like we do that now after a meal. That's what we do. We play past the lady and everybody knows that's what we do. So I tried to introduce, do you want it low?
And do you want it low?
That did not go well. There's too much to explain. It just didn't work out. But yeah, we play past the bitch at our house. We don't call it that. We call it past the lady. And, you know, and then inevitably my son or my daughter has to explain to whoever's there as a guest, like, the game is really called this and here's why. You know, you got to get it out there. But,
which makes it more intriguing. It's a fire station game.
Right, it's a secret.
Yeah. Card games is great because I do think that there's great laughter and stuff. And then, you know, we play the first one's a dollar hand and then the second one's for the dishes. Right.
Ah.
And it's funny to watch.
This is, you do this at home or you do it at work?
At the station. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And it's great. If you guys don't play cards, it's definitely an old school county thing. I know other fire departments play cards, but it's an old school thing for sure that Noel and I have talked about trying to keep it alive because it is dying a little bit, but it's live and well at a lot of stations. And it's funny to watch your captain go out first and have this mountain of dishes to get, you know what I mean? And like the guys, I think purposely like make a hot mess in the kitchen. So
just in case
first,
Cap gets in. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're in, you know what I mean? And I think that does also build camaraderie too. Cause there's not often, I worked in the world of business before I got on and never in my life did I see a supervisor or a boss take out the trash or wash dishes or do like manual labor at all. In fact, most of those things were just delved down to the, you know, the bottom of the totem pole. And I think we take pride in that, hey, this is our job being on the bottom of the totem pole. We take pride in that this is my role and responsibility and yours is different. But at the same time, it goes a long way when you do see the boss step up and like get in the suds.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, I love it. The other game we play at home on a regular basis is left, right, center, that dice game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Super easy. Any kid, anyone can play it, even if they're, you'll always end up with those people in a group of people when you're together that are like, I don't play games. I don't like games. I don't understand games. Like, well, this one, you understand. It's very simple. You just roll the dice and do what they say. So that one's super easy and good for a crowd, especially if you want to throw some money in there. Really makes the little kids upset when they lose. It's a blast. And we got a call.
I'll leave it.
All right.
Pausies.
I'll be back.
Okay, cool. Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza. That's the other one.
Oh!
I know. I've been telling you. You got to get that game.
No, we got it. I forgot to tell you. Oh, yeah.
It's a fun one.
I think I bought it at least maybe a week after you first mentioned it here on the show. And I meant to tell you, I am total trash at that game. I lose every time.
Really? You don't have the, it's a quick, you got to be quick with the hand.
I'm totally fine. And I do pretty well right up until you get to the special cards with the special movements.
Yeah, those are the rough ones.
And then my brain and my body just freeze. I don't even move. I just sit there and I stare. And then, of course, everybody does it and they all laugh and I take all the cards. I lose every single time we play that game. So the family loves it because it's fun to destroy dad's soul. But yeah, it is very fun. It is a fun game, but I'm terrible at it. Shockingly bad. But it's a great game.
So good news is this happens quite a bit. Harmony has to go do like shopping and do some Christmas things. And I got the girls. She said, hey, you guys, you want to take care of dinner? And I was like, yeah. The girls know immediately I'm a sucker. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to get wise that I'll say yes to a cheeseburger pretty much anytime.
And
they go, hey, Dad, you want to go to the burger lounge? And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. What do we say to you? What do we say to the wife, you know? And just say, we want to go to the burger lounge. So I was like, I just text, we want to go to the burger lounge. And she's like, sounds like you guys got a pretty good plan. All right, we're all on our own. But, woo! And we're excited now. So we're going to the
Burger Lounge. It is, dude. Good for you. That's awesome. That's one of the fun things about being a dad is you get to be, we'll just call it irresponsible at times. The moms have to be disciplined and, you know, keep on the program and keep everything running and keep the kids, you know, in line and reasonable. And as dad, sometimes you just get to come in and throw caution to the wind and go to the Burger Lounge.
We're going to the Burger Lounge. But I know what happens because Trader Joe's is next to the Burger Lounge in Temecula and they have the Kringle. So we're probably going to have to do a walk by for the Kringle.
The Kringle. I've only had one so far at our house this season. I gotta up my, those are rookie numbers. I gotta rookie. Up my numbers.
I could eat one by myself right now. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to, let me write that down. Hold on. Kringle. I can get one on my way home tomorrow. Okay.
Fantastic.
All right. I got one last thing. I want to encourage you listening to this podcast to get into the Discord. Kevin and I have been talking behind the scenes about some new things that we're going to be doing, and we're going to be launching those new things in the new year because that's what people do. But as we do that, we're going to be talking about them and probably doing some test runs on some of these things in the Discord. So before we launch some of these ideas that we have, we're going to be doing them in the Discord first. So get in the Discord now. Links for that are in the show notes. And be prepared as we start to roll out some new cool ideas that we're excited about. So go do that.
Yes. And along those lines, kick off your new year. The Fire Up program has a class January 12th, 13th, and 14th. And I'd say we have room for about 7 more people. So get in, sign up, let's go. It's over a weekend. You will not regret it. It's going to be a blast. And we will be there.
We will be there. It's going to be fun. Really fun. Can't wait.
This has been the Fire You Carry podcast.
Well, thank you for listening. Once again, I literally just said it, but I'm going to say it again. I want you guys to get in the Discord. There's a couple of things that we're going to be doing in the future regarding this podcast, and we will be testing those things out with our listeners that are in the Discord first. So come help us build a couple of things, test some stuff out for us to see if it works. We are excited about this stuff, and I think you're going to enjoy it as a listener. That's all I'm going to say right now, but I do need you in the Discord if you're going to be a part of the early pre-launch access to this stuff. So go do that. Continue to do your burpees. Do that cold exposure. Have a cold finish on your shower. Get in an ice bath. Try to do it every day. As I'm recording this, it's the 14th of December. We are not quite halfway through the month yet, but we're very close. And if you haven't started yet, today's the day. Jump in. Start now. Finish out the month with us. And then you're going to be into January. And January is just a hardcore month anyway, so you could just carry it on and do it for the first half of January. And then you get your 31 days in. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we got the burgers now.
Let's go to the Burger Lounge.
To the Burger Lounge.
All right, bro. Enjoy Burger Lounge.
Burger Lounge?